There was a group of frogs, and they were traveling together through a part of the jungle that none of them had ever been. And two of them in the process accidentally jumped and landed down in a pit, but they were lucky enough to land on the ledge on the side of the pit, which just it was rocky and sharp and had just this rough edges. And the group on the top looked down, and it looked pretty bleak. And they were just saying, you know what? We're sorry, but there is no way we're going to be able to save you. And the two frogs on the ledge, they ignored the group up there, and they just kept trying to jump up and jump up. And the hard thing is, because of the rockiness and the sharp edges, every time they would jump up and come back down, they ended up scraping themselves and cutting themselves, and they were getting bloody. And the group at the top, really believing that there was absolutely no hope, and they were causing themselves unnecessary pain, just said, we know it's rough, but you just need to give up. And after a little time, finally one frog just looked at it, was hurting, didn't see any hope, and he jumped into the pit. The other to his death. The other frog continued to jump as hard as he could. And every time he jumped up, he sliced his belly and the blood was running. And that crowd up top just continued. They yelled louder, just stop the pain. Just it's not worth it. And as the crowd of the frogs just yelled more and more and more, the harder he jumped. And finally he got one little flipper up on the edge of the on the edge and pulled himself up. And the crowd was like, didn't you listen? Didn't you hear us? Why did you keep jumping? And the frog was kind of confused, and he had to admit that he had become hard of hearing, and he said, I thought you were encouraging me the entire time. In a very backhanded way, that little story shows us the power of friendship and encouragement. Because here's the bottom line. You and I and the rest of humanity were created for relationship. From the very beginning of time, the first chapter in the Bible, we see this truth. In Genesis chapter 1, chapter 25, we see God saying, let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness. Now, have you ever thought and really considered what that meant? I mean, again, so here's God Almighty, Creator God, and he makes this statement, he's going to make man in his own image. Well, I would go out on a limb and say, I don't think we look like God, right? I don't think that's what this means. Any of you all-powerful? Omniscient? Omnipresent? Okay, so those three things are gone. So what in the world is God talking about here, right? Making us in his image. Well, I think he gives us a clue in the very phrase because he says, let us, okay, God, us. This is the first place in the Bible that we see God as a relational being. I'm not going to get in the whole Trinity thing this morning, but we get this glimpse. And at least part of how we are image bearers of God is that we are created as relational beings. We have a relational nature. And very soon we see this reiterated because we see God go through the process. He makes man and he goes along and he looks and he says what? It's not good for God, man to be alone, right? Because he understood. He had hardwired this need for relationship. Relationship is part of the essence of life. It's who we are, and the Bible shares this truth. And here, I think, is part of the point. I believe in our culture we have a problem with this. Because I will say, I think there's a lot of people failing at relationships. They just don't know how to have a healthy, life-giving relationship. They might not know how to start it. They don't know, maybe they know how to start it. They don't know how to grow it. They don't know how to maintain it. They don't know how to invest in the lives of others. They just don't understand this very basic part of life. And I will, like I said, I think it's incredibly important. So I believe, you know, I will even go as far that I believe that a significant part of our social woes can be directly traced to the lack of quality relationships. All that stuff you do when your pastor tells you not to watch news and you ignore him, you watch it anyway, and then you get all frustrated and discouraged with life, and we look at this world and we're like, oh my word, part of that is because people are denying who they were created to be. And so this morning we're going to look at relationships. And I entitled it Relationships 101 because if you went to college, you understand that the 101 course is the most basic course you can take. It is the beginning point where we do. And so this is just basics. We are going to look at some basic things that the Bible says about relationships. So besides what we see in Genesis, I want you to just hear another couple of examples that show us this important truth. John 15, 12 through 13. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for his friends. So we see this, right? Jesus Christ is commanding his followers that we love one another to the extent, even he gives that as an example, and we see him live that out on the cross, but that we are to lay, we love people enough that we're willing to lay our lives down. Galatians 5:14, for the whole law is summed up in a single commandment, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. What's it talking about here? They're looking to the Old Testament, right? The Ten Commandments, thou shalt not do this, you thou shalt not do that, all those kind of things. And he's saying, look, let's simplify this. If you love people the way I intend, then you're not going to do those things. Instead of following a bunch of rules, you're loving them the right way we're called to love one another. 1 Peter 4:8, above all, okay, so Peter is really putting it up there. Of all the rules that you have with humanity, maintain constant love for one another, for love covers a multitude of sin. So we are to be constantly loving one another. What's that mean? Love covers a multitude of sin. Guess what? I can put up with my wife doing some things to me way better if you're doing the same things to me. Why? Because I love her way more than I love you. Right? Because if I love someone deeply, they hurt me, I'm going to forgive them. An acquaintance treats me like, life's too short. I don't need to have that person in my life. So love covers a multitude. And there are plenty of other places in the Bible. If you spend just a little bit of time, you can look, Google verses on love or on friendships and relationship. It's loaded. It time and time again, it tells us that this is a part of who we are. Now I want to show you just before we get into the nuts and bolts of the sermon, just look at this in a little different way. 1 Peter 5:8 says this, discipline yourselves, keep alert, like a roaring lion, your adversary, the devil prowls around looking for someone to devour. So how many of you, we've all watched, I mean, maybe now that Netflix, maybe the young people, but back in the day, you know, Mutual of Omaha and those kind of great shows that brought nature right into our home, and you remember those ones where we watched a pride of lions decide to get a meal? What is the first thing that lions do when they're going to go get a gazelle or a wildebeest or whatever? What's the first thing they do every time? They separate them, right? They look at that herd, and they're going to separate. Now, maybe they look at one that's young and it's not as strong, or maybe they look at one that's old or weak or whatever. Because here's the thing. When you look at a collective group of wildebeest, they all have horns, and wildebeest will circle up, right? They cover each other's flanks. They cover each other's hind end. And so when you're looking at it, you're looking just at a wall of horns. Now, if I can get one called out and you get that, well, they can't protect themselves fully. They can spin around and they try to keep their horn, but eventually they tire out. That is the illustration that is being shown here. Peter is saying that you are much weaker when you are alone. And it's true. If you are in a group of good Christian folk and you're in community and relationship with those people and the temptations of sin are there or maybe addictions, you are stronger. If you are standing against that by yourself, Satan is laughing because he knows how weak you are. He knows how weak I am. When we are alone, we are much more susceptible to sin, addiction, and selfishness. You are always stronger and better in a healthy relationship. So here's the thing. Whether you are a regular church attendant or not, this truth, I think, is for each and every one of us. And we're going to build, and I want to show you that the different relationships that you need to have this morning, the ones that you need to be pursuing. So the first kind of relationship that we need to have are personal relationships. And I want to be clear here, okay? So a personal relationship is very different than a functional relationship. All of us have functional type of relationships. The relationship maybe with you have with your doctor, maybe the relationship you have with your plumber or a lawyer or your employer, you know, or even, you know, I think in some churches, the pastor, one of the nice things about a church this size, whether you like it or not, you get a personal relationship with your pastor. We work hard, Beth and I, trying to get to know you and understand those things, right? So, but a functional relationship, you know, they're important. You know, I have a lawyer who, you know what, has wrote Beth and Mai's will. When the big boys, when our nephews lived with us, he's the one that wrote up the guardian documents. Just important things in life, right? We needed that functional relationship. But I will tell you, his friendship is more important. I've known him. I played 4 years of football with him. Beth has known him since kindergarten. And between the lawyer and the friend, I'll take the friend all day long. That relationship is more important to me because it's personal. We need relationships like that. And I'm sure your life looks like this as well, right? When we look at the relationships that we have, they kind of are in concentric circles around us. Think of a target. We're in the middle of that target. So we have these relationships out here. And as you work in, they become closer, but they also what? They become fewer, right? We do need those functional ones. We need those acquaintances. We're not saying that you shouldn't be friendly and enjoy those relationships out there, but those aren't enough. I mean, we even see this in the life of Jesus. Look at these two verses, or listen. You can't look. All right, Luke 10:1. And this, the Lord appointed 70 others and sent them ahead of him in pairs to every town and place where he himself intended to go. So Jesus Christ had a pretty big group. 70 people he had sent out. And these are people, again, he's sending on ministry. So he had to at least kind of know them to a certain degree, to know their character, to know that they were going to do what he had asked. So he has this large group, right? Maybe that personally knowing. But then we see in Mark 3:14, he appointed 12, whom he also named apostles to be with him and to be sent out to proclaim the message. So what? The circle changes. I guarantee Christ had a closer relationship with the 12 then he did the 70. And if you know the New Testament at all, we also know that Jesus Christ had the inner circle. Peter, James, and John. Those ones that he invited to, you know, Galilee. The ones that they saw Elisha. Those kind of things. The very intimate people within that group. And the problem with some people is they ignore the inner circles. Right? They might have a lot of acquaintances. They might know a lot of people, but they don't work and they don't build relationship in. Yes, we need to be loving, we need to be friendly, but the large group doesn't know us the way we need to be known. The large group doesn't tend to grow us. It doesn't support us at the same level as the inner circle does. But here's the thing, I think some ways we feel much safer. Because if I leave people at arm's length, they don't know really get to know me as well, and they can't really hurt me. The closer you allow people to be, guess what? The opportunity goes up that they can hurt us because they know more of us. We like to keep it close to the vest. There are people sitting in this pews that say, Pastor Todd, if you knew my past, you wouldn't like me very much. I've had those discussions with people. There are people that have been wounded and hurt, and so they think that they're unlovable, they're untouchable, so they just keep them to the front, and they never let anybody get close. I will tell you, the Bible doesn't buy into that. Because we are better together. We are better protected together. And we need to invest, and we need to move relationships into. And again, as even a church this size, as small as we are, again, I'm not asking you to have a personal relationship with everyone you share the pews with, even though I think if you did a little bit of work, you at least could learn people's names and get a little sense of knowing people. But that's not what I'm asking. Because I think even as a church, if we become a relationship-oriented church, which I do believe we are right there, and we have an atmosphere, again, where it's encouraged and you're willing to give a little bit, relationships naturally and easily form. If you spend enough time together, you see where your chemistry lies. You see who you kind of gel with. That's not an accident. But if you never start walking toward the middle, you never know. If you always stay on the fringes, you always just sit in your pew on a Sunday morning, you never show up to anything else, then you're always going to be on the fringes and you're cheating us and you're cheating yourself of what God could do if you're willing to invest and show us your real self. God wants us to have those relationships and to move from those personal, and again, personal relationships are great, but they cannot be the end goal for us. Again, knowing a few things about someone, and you know what? How are you this morning? I'm fine. How are you? Baloney. Right? If I ask you how you're doing and you give me fine, and I have the time, I'm going to call you on that because it's a bunch of bull. And maybe in the moment you're doing okay, but life's happening. If I ask you how you are doing, I care. I don't want to hear some flippant answer. Right? If I didn't care, I wouldn't ask you the question. I am that person. Now you're going, man, Todd hasn't asked me for a while. Then feel free to ask me how I'm doing. And if I tell you fine, call me on it, right? But we need to grow and foster. And that brings us, right, to that next level, I think, of relationships. Again, so we need to go from personal and not accepting that to the next phase. And listen, this is what God says, right? Listen to God's expectations. Bear one another's burdens. This is Galatians 6:2. And in this way, you will fulfill the law of Christ. So in order to do that, if I am going to bear your burdens, I can't do that if I only know you at a shallow or superficial level. Because I'll let you get away with, how you doing? I'm fine. Good. I checked in. I was a pastor. I asked the whole congregation. They said they're fine. I'm taking the week off. They have no issues. I asked for prayer requests. There is no big whoop. So obviously, like, God is just blessing our church in such a way, so I'm just going to take a week off and do nothing because, man, God's got them right. Come on. So we need to, in order to bear one another's burdens, which this is not a suggestion. The Bible is telling us to do this. If we are going to protect the herd, then we have to understand what each other are going through. So we need to have, this is the second one, we don't just need to have personal relationship, we need to have deepening relationships. People shouldn't have to face their issues or the tragedies of life alone. There's potential, there is power when we come together and share and grow relationships. We need to be selectively deepening. If you don't have someone outside your spouse that knows you, really knows you and loves you anyway, you're cheating yourself. Someone that can love you and speak truth into your life. Someone that will let you bash your husband, but then at the end of the day go, no, God gave him to you, and he loves you. You need to be patient with him because God's not done with him yet. If you don't have a friend that you can vent to and it doesn't go anywhere, you're missing the boat, right? We need to deepen. We need to have deepening relationships, which goes into the very next kind of relationship we need to have, and that is supportive relationship. Now, I'm not going to go back to those verses I started with, but I mean, it's very, very clear in the Bible that we are to love. And if we are to love, we're talking, God's talking true, real love here, the kind of love that is willing to pull up your sleeves, get down in the muck, and get dirty with someone, because it takes sometimes that kind of love to yank someone out of their own stuff. A supportive kind of relationship. Look at what the book of Acts says. In all this, I have given you an example, by that such work we must support the weak, remembering the words of the Lord Jesus, for he himself said, it's more blessed to give than to receive. First notice, all right? Paul is saying, support the weak. And if you read it kind of like I do, I mean, when I think that, I go to, you know, my mind tends to go to those that are on society's margins, right? We know that those people that are out there that are hurting, that are needy, you know, they're struggling with stuff. And so we show up at the hands of God. Maybe we go to a kudos. We serve in those areas. But I will tell you, friend, I've lived life long enough, and I will tell you, there's going to be a time that you're the weak. It is. I will tell you, when Beth had breast cancer, that was one of the lessons that God taught me. It was so far out of my control. There were things that I could not do. I don't like that kind of thing. I'm not a control freak, but I'm a man, right? A man takes care of his family. And when you are weak, you need a support system. You need people the herd that will circle around you and make sure you're not isolated and you don't take attacks that you shouldn't be taking. Friend, you're going to be the weak one. And we are called to have these relationships so that we can help shoulder the load with one another. But in order to do that, we need to know you, because if I don't know you, you're not going to let me close enough to help shoulder that load. Again, we keep people on the fringes. You're afraid that your junk is the worst junk on the planet and none of the rest of us have junk. We live in, and Satan tells you that lie. Because again, if he can keep you isolated, then the church can't do what the church is supposed to do, which is to rally around, come around you, and love you through your mess until Jesus Christ comes and continues to transform you and then does something in your life. That's how God works. You don't have to clean yourself up before you're welcomed into church. Doesn't matter. Because God uses the church to love you through and in the mess until he can give you the strength to crawl yourself out with a cheerleader and maybe a hand up. That's what the body of Christ is called. We're to be called, again, relationships. We need to have personal ones, we need to have deepening ones, and supportive ones. And look at the end of that verse, right? It said this, it is more blessed to give than receive. That, here's a key here, and I want you to grasp that. When it comes to relationships, you are better served giving than receiving. What do I mean? If you want to have true, healthy relationships, you're not like this in a relationship. You can't have your hand out. The Bible says what? Lay your life down. Carry each other's burdens. Over and over again, it talks about giving your life away. That's where healthy relationships come in. So I'm going to take a moment, and I'm going to have a little commercial break here because I'm going to give you a practical thing to... In your pew might be these kind of things. Somebody put them in there with this kind of cause. If you're sitting here on a Sunday morning, I'm going to ask you to just go, okay, Lord, who needs to be encouraged? Who is someone I know that sits in these pews week in and week out that maybe had a bad week? Or maybe just need to know that somebody gives a rip about them? And if he tells you a name, fill out a card, drop it in the plate, put it in their mailbox, and you will never know how much that means until somebody drops one in your box. You don't even have to sign it if you don't want to. But these are going to be in the pews so that you can support one another in a very practical, it doesn't cost you a stamp, it literally costs you less than a minute of your time. What it costs you is asking God and listening to the Spirit. So in the weeks to come, I'm going to encourage you, I'm going to try to remind you that those are there. But just, again, we need to be supporting one another. There are people in these pews today that are hurting and would love to hear that God loves them through your voice, through your writing. And then finally, we are to be in faith-building relationships. Hebrews 3, 12 and 13. Take care, brothers and sisters, that none of you may have an evil, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God, but exhort one another every day, as long as it's called today, so that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. For the body of Christ, this is a truth we need to grasp and hold on to, exhort, to encourage, to challenge, to build each other up in the faith. Why? So none of us may be hardened. When life gets rough, one of the scary components is we can get mad at God and we can walk away. And if a brother and sister doesn't come alongside us and lovingly share and speak some truth, our hearts can get hard and we can be done with it. If I had to guess, there are those of you that can point to examples of individuals in your life that you've seen it happen. The author of Hebrews is challenging us, exhort one another so that none of you may be hardened. We're all going to have moments in our lives, in our faith, that we're down, maybe we have doubts, maybe we're angry with God, but it is always better when we have those that love us that are walking that path with us. Why? Because the line is looking to isolate you. And if you're angry at God and you're struggling with doubts and you think nobody in the pews can understand your struggle, and so you don't want to share because your pride says they're going to think of you differently, Satan's laughing because he has you exactly where he wants you. Don't let pride take you out. If you have a guest, you can't shock your pastor anymore. You can't. And I can point you to truth. And I can love you. And I can hook you up with people that will pray and listen and support you no matter what. That's what the church is. And so we need to have this thing that's building us up. And I will tell you, if you are a visitor here today, and I said you needed a faith-building relationship, and I absolutely believe it to be true, but I would encourage you and say, you know what? This is for you as well. Even if you haven't got this God thing figured out yet, it doesn't matter. Because if you would come here, I guarantee you will be loved on and welcomed into part of this community. Yes, our motives are that through us, that you would see Jesus Christ in such a profound way that you would be drawn to him. We would not shy away from that. We would not say that that's not the case, because frankly, that's our God-given task, is to love people into the kingdom. But if you never get there, ultimately, it doesn't matter. We're going to love you and love you well, because that's what God calls us to do. You and I were created for relationships, and healthy ones come when we give ourselves. Yes, you know what? Maybe you are one of those people that are struggling, and you've tried, and you've put yourself out there, and it just seems that connections don't last long. I would encourage you to look at that and see, you know what those verses said. A true friend lies down his life for his friends. It is more blessed to receive, because I think people that tend to fail in relationships are doing it for selfish reasons. If you have needs, yes, we all have needs, all right? I don't like the term needy, but there are some people that are needier than other people, right? We get that. And so those people are exhausting. If you've ever tried to be a friend with a needy person, you know it is exhausting. And man, you just want to... Life is too short, right? And we want to push those people away. But if you are looking to have more relationships in your life, and you develop a person where you're laying your life down, you become an encourager, you're willing to help carry other people's loads, you will have no shortage of friends. And the flip side, you're going to get what you're looking for anyway. People that struggle in that area, they have the order wrong. They try to get, and take, and take, and take, and take. Don't. Do it God's way. Lay your life down. Become an encourager. Carry other people's burdens, and you'll have no shortage of friends. God loves you. If you hear nothing else this morning, God loves you, and he has blessed you in more ways than you can probably fathom. And one of the biggest ways is he's given you the gift of relationship. All this week, I have been praying for each person that would sit in these pews that you would embrace that gift this morning and allow it to bring you not only meaning and fulfillment that you need in this life, but it would draw you closer to your loving Heavenly Father. Please pray with me. Our gracious Heavenly Father, God, I thank you for just your goodness and your love, and that you love us enough to speak into our lives. And we thank you for the truth of your word. And Lord, there are people here I know this morning that are hurting and they feel alone. I would ask that you help the message just penetrate their hearts, that they would hear that they are loved and that you care, and that, man, there are relationships to be had. And for all of us, Lord, we need to keep working on this stuff. We need to continue to be deepening relationships, and we need to be willing to support those around us, and we need to have those relationships that are building us in the faith so that we can become more and more like you, and we can accomplish all that you have for us. We thank you and praise you for all that you do, and we ask this in the powerful name of Jesus. Amen.